Actually, I'm very thankful today for those that are here, considering the fact that we have so many that aren't here. And I appreciate, I'm actually glad that some are visiting somewhere else so that everybody's not sick, but certainly one of those things that I have no idea how these things get passed around or how we receive them or how we get them. And I've said before, it's an amazing thing that something you can't even see can have you on your knees begging for mercy. So just shows how weak we are sometimes. But we are thankful to God that we have the ability, because of Him, to recover from things. I was thinking about and talking to some about Dustin, and I said, I'm not just picking on Dustin, but he actually hit in the right place because our heads are extremely hard, and so it's kind of like that's some more protection sometimes than the other places. But I'm certain he didn't want to even hit that. But thankfully, no great damage was done, and we're grateful to God for that. Kayla, while she was here, had asked me to present a lesson about something, and so don't know if this is exactly what she had in mind, but regardless, we're going to talk a little bit about some things that people do say, and you'll catch this right away. You know, some people say about people, they go, well, I know why they did that. And you're like, well, how do you know? Well, you can tell. Well, I mean, but how do you really know? Well, I just know. Well, I know something's wrong with them. Did you see how they were acting? And you know, sometimes, now I'm not saying with this, people come up to me and they say, well, you don't seem quite as, you know, chipper today. And I appreciate that. They're not saying I'm doing something wrong. But just to look at someone and say, I know. We don't know. Well, I know how they meant that. They said something and I know. And you know, I've had people say to me and I go, no, that's not what I meant. Yeah, you did. So, you know, we get into this, and that's one of those things, and I don't need to be saying this to people. Nah, I'm sure they're doing something wrong. Really? What makes you so sure? Well, I am. I'm just sure they are. Well, I've heard some things about them. And all of these things are doing something that we shouldn't be doing. I wonder what they were doing there. We get into this in our minds, and we start judging. Now, is judging right or wrong? We get into discussions about this all the time because the Bible's clear about certain things about judging, but then we need to look at those passages of Scripture, and we're going to be turning to Matthew 7, 1 through 6. But it's an amazing thing. I'll be discussing the Bible with someone, and the very first Scripture that I hear out of their lips is, well, you're judging me. I'm like, what did I say that was judging you? We were talking about the Bible. You asked me a question and I pointed to a Scripture in the Bible, and now you're, and then they're judging me for judging them. But that's okay. I'm thinking this is a little hypocritical on our part when we point the finger back at someone else, and I think really that's a lot of what Matthew 7 is talking about. It's pretty hypocritical on our part when we accuse someone of the very thing that we feel like they're accusing us of. Now, this is very true. Many will say that all types of judging is wrong. In other words, I'm living a certain lifestyle. You should never, ever teach against that lifestyle, because if you teach against that lifestyle, you're judging me. Nope. If I'm teaching against homosexuality, or I'm teaching against any type of fornication, no, not me. I had nothing to do with making these rules and regulations, and it wasn't me at all. It wasn't me at all. But I will teach what God has to say on those subject matters. It's not me. It is God teaching those things. The Bible question is this. When judging others, is it right or wrong to do so? Well, that's a pretty open-end question, isn't it? And we're going to look into that more. Well, we have to look at Scriptures. And we have to determine what's being discussed, the content and context of those passages of Scripture. Jesus certainly condemns a type of judging in Matthew 7. We would all agree to that because he just simply makes a direct statement. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, if I stopped there, we would have to come to the conclusion that regardless, all type of judging is wrong. But we have to look at the context. He even talks about in John 12:47 that he did not come into this world to judge, but to save. And as long as he was in this world, that was his duty and desire to do. But the minute he left this world, the Bible's very clear, he went back, though, to be a judge because he could do that. But he came to give his body on the cross for our sins and to die for our sins. If either of these scriptures are taken out of context and you don't read the rest of God's Word, then it would seem that all judging is wrong. On the other hand, Christ did judge. When he made that statement, he was not talking about wrongful judging, and he wasn't talking about final judgment. He was talking about how, in not judging, and how he was not coming to do that. He wasn't saying that he wasn't going to teach them the scriptures and talk about their lives. How do I know that? Matthew 23. Pretty strong on judging there. You hypocrites! You do this! And he said, you do what they say, but don't do as they do. You whitewash the tombs of all those prophets, but you helped kill them, and your forefathers did too, and you're going to continue to do that. You act as if you're very important, and you're not. He said, you're an actor. You don't mean it. How could Christ do that? He just got through saying he didn't come to do that. Because he's not judging them wrongfully. He's telling them what's wrong in their life. And so forth and so on with these other passages of Scripture. We're going to talk about this subject. Let's read Matthew 7, 1 through 6. New King James, judge not that you be not judged, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, and that's key, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at a speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how is it that you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now, I realize that some take verse 6 and completely put it by itself, but I believe in context he's talking about the very same thing. There is a time when we're talking to people, and it's wasteful on our part to give to them what is holy because of the way they look at life and the way they will respond to it. I also want to talk about the plank and the speck. I love this because I like doing woodwork of all kinds. And I've got some of those specks in my eyes, and it hurts. And you'll work hard to get them out of there. But I've always pictured the difference between that and if, you know, jamming a whole plank in your eye. And the whole thing, he's not saying that one sin's greater than the other here. It's just that one person certainly has more on their plate because not only are they doing something wrong, but they're misjudging others as well, or they're judging them harshly as well. And that's what he's condemning. So we'll talk about that. So here's some questions that we won't answer in this first one completely, but are all top types of moral judgment wrong? In other words, when I look at a person's life and I see that there's some things there that don't seem to correspond with what God wants them to do, and I look at that and I say to them, don't think you're doing what God wants you to do, and let me talk to you about that. Or, from those previous questions I asked, Mike sees something in my life. He thinks that maybe I am doing something wrong, and he comes to me and talks to me about that personally because he's concerned about me. Would I not appreciate him doing that, even if I'm not doing anything wrong? Would not appreciate that? That he would look at my life close enough to want me to do what's right? If we see obvious wrong in others, should we never point it out? Should I say, I don't want to be accused of judging. We were talking about in class, I mean, being very careful in how we say things. But on the other hand, if we don't say something, somebody can leave this life and be eternally lost. So what do we do? What is the context of this, judge not that you be not judged? And what does it actually mean to judge another? And how would we teach others if we could not rightly determine things about their life? In the Greek, the word that's typically used, and you'll see this for judge, judging, judgment, judges, is to distinguish, decide, either mentally or judiciously. And this is an important thing. It's not just making some, you know, off-the-cuff determination about something, but by implication, to try, condemn, punish, avenge, conclude, damn, decree, determine, esteem, judge, go to law, call in question, and think. So that's the possibilities of how this word was originally used. in Greek literature and other places. So as we look at that, we can think, well, you know, we need to be careful with some aspects of that, but other aspects of it is just reasonable. In the English, the verb means to pass legal judgment, to form a judgment or opinion of, to decide upon critically, to infer, think, or hold an opinion, conclude about, or assess. And you think about that, certain aspects of that we'd have to be careful with. But others are clear that that's part of our life and we're going to be doing that. Now, some believe that Jesus was forbidding these things in this verse. They believe that he was forbidding criticism that is not favorable or that is unpleasant. Well, that makes no sense according to Matthew 23 because just one of the points, and the reason I use Matthew 23, there I could give you a lot of scriptures where Jesus was, his criticism was not pleasant. When he turned to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," that's not pleasant. Okay, that's very critical. His judgment of Peter at that time was that Peter was letting Satan control his life. And he didn't want Satan to control his life, so he warned Peter about that. When we see that in people's lives, although I don't have the ability to read a person's mind, I can look at their life and would I say something similar, even though it might be unpleasant? Wouldn't you say that to me? I would hope that you would. That you would care enough about me that you saw something in my life. Some believe that there can be no church discipline. You're just judging another person and you have no right to do that. But clearly in the Bible, I just used one of the passages, 1 Corinthians 5, there is discipline that has to be carried out. When we see sin in someone's life, they're living in sin. Not this where all of us make our mistakes and we pray to God for them. But when we have a person who is obviously living in sin, we don't pat ourselves on the back and how wonderful we are. In that passage, he tells them, you have done wrong. A little leaven leavens a whole lump. You look at that person, you know their sin. And you tell them, you rightfully think through this, assess the situation. You say, we can't let this happen because if we do, it'll destroy the whole church. 2 Peter 2:1, some people say, well, he's saying we shouldn't expose false doctrine. In other words, we shouldn't look at other people who are trying their best to serve God, and they have this love for God, and I shouldn't say to them, wait, what you're doing is wrong. You know, even though it's completely false from God's Word. So now let's look at this context in our first sermon. In this context, Jesus is clearly saying, one thing that's wrong about this judging is this. It's seeing the fault of others and not mine. Have you ever noticed this about yourself? See, I'll be first to admit this. That when another person's driving down the road and they're not quite watching what they're doing and I'm getting all frustrated at them because I'm thinking that's... And then I forget all the times that people have just barely missed me because I did something wrong on the road. Isn't that interesting how theirs is so much worse than mine? Right? When someone almost hits me, I get almost upset, and then immediately I calm myself down and think, how many times have I almost hit someone else? In reality, I try not to do that anymore. I am trying to work on that. God is still working on my patience, and He's offering me those opportunities when I'm out on the road to work on my patience. And it's a difficult thing because when I look at other people, I always think what they do is worse, don't you? For some reason, it seems like it's always worse. You just think of all the things that happen in public life and how people point the finger at one another and how, and I'm not saying they're not rightfully judging what's going on, but how much worse that is than if someone else does it. And his whole comment in this is that when we have sin in our life and we can't see that and we think of the other person's sin as being much greater, ours is even worse in the sense of, I'm not going to be a penitent person. Maybe the other person would be. So let's look at this, what he says. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank that's in your own eye? Doesn't this remind you of when they brought the woman who had committed adultery before Jesus and said, what should we do? Finally, you know what he said? He stooped on the ground, and wrote on the ground, and finally he said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. Now, there's lots of things wrong with what they did, and their sin actually was greater. Because they were wanting to stone her, but they hadn't brought the man. The man was okay. This sounds familiar with some other religions that are out there today where it's okay for one person to do it, a male, but it's wrong for a female to do it. You know what happened, and we all remember the story. From the oldest to the youngest, they walked away. When they looked at their own lives, they realized, I need to correct myself first before I start pointing the sin out of others. When we look at this, how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye and look, a plank's in your own eye. And this again presents that image, and maybe I should have done what Kyle and Roger do, looked on the internet and found some of this. But if you think about a big plank sticking out of your eye, you can't see well. Okay, I don't want anybody that's pretty much blind trying to take something out of my eye. I don't know about the rest of you. I am very touchy about my eyes. You can almost cut me open anywhere else, and I don't even care. But my eyes, for some reason, I have always been that way. Just don't touch me. The point of this is, we don't want someone that can't see well to remove something from us. If they can't see this clearly themselves about how they need to be living their lives, why would they be pointing out my sin? Now, does it mean in this that he's saying that Abe has sin in his life? And he comes to Glendon and points out sin, and Glendon says, well, I'm not changing because of you. Now, that's not what this is teaching at all. I don't think even Glendon would say that. I don't even think Glendon would turn around to me and say, but Abe, you've got greater sin in your life. I think Glendon would say, thank you for pointing it out. Now, he might, but I don't know that he'd use that occasion. He might come back to me later because he wants me to be right as well and point out the big plank that's in my eye. But that's not what's being taught here. And he uses this term, hypocrite or actor. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. But it's also judging from the wrong motive, or there's no love or mercy in this. When we look at this passage, he tells us, if we do that, a hypocrite. A hypocrite. I have no love for other people if I'm living my life any way I want to, but I want to point out your faults all the time. That's not right. In Luke's account of this, Luke 6, 36-38, he's in the context there, he says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. In other words, you're not doing this from mercy. Don't judge from a merciless standpoint. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Don't be looking at other people while you yourself have no mercy. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Do this from a good heart, a heart that says, I'm more than willing to forgive. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. He's saying, if you don't do this from a good heart, it's of no value. And I do want to say one thing. I've been appreciative through the years at Waynesville and how quickly people are more than happy to forgive someone of some wrong that they've done. It is a wonderful thing to see that people don't hold that and don't use that to judge others unfairly. It is one of those things that we have to have in our heart. If we expect God to take care of us and forgive us, then we've got to do the same thing. When I'm judging, if you will, or we'll talk about later, someone, it has to be from the right heart. Not just to look for fault in their life, but to rightfully do so. Because of this passage, it's kind of scary, isn't it? And it's also used in Matthew about it'll be given back to you. That's the way it'll work. But it's also judging from our own standards. You see, I have a different standard for you than I do for me. My standard is if you do something wrong, it's terrible. If I do something wrong, it's okay. That's the wrong standard. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye? Don't use your standard for determining what's wrong and what's not wrong. If it's just from the basis of what I think, it's of no good. But he is not saying you don't have the ability to see a hypocrite. In this passage, he even calls a person who does that a hypocrite. Is not Christ then saying, you can judge rightfully? In other words, if you have a person who's always talking about other people and how bad they are, but their life is a total mess, aren't they a hypocrite? Weren't those Pharisees who went around pointing the finger at Jesus, who was living a perfect life, weren't they hypocrites? Didn't he point that out to them? Weren't their lives a mess, but they, for some reason, wanted to tell him how bad he was all the time and how he was doing things wrong. We talked about that this morning. They didn't even look at the scriptures to see what they had to say. They made their own rules and regulations. They were doing it from their own standards. But we can clearly see when someone is just, sometimes, not always, sometimes we can clearly see when someone is just acting, when they're not living the way they should. And he says that. And he's not saying we don't have the ability. Now, some people have said this is literal dogs, but I don't think in context that makes any sense. When we read this passage of Scripture, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. He's saying, on the other hand, it is wasteful sometimes, I believe, on our part, to try to get someone to turn from their sin. In other words, we try with a person that has the plank in their eye, but they won't do anything about it. And the reason I believe this is because of passages like 2 Peter 2:22, where he talks about someone who has followed God's word, but now they're like a dog that returns and eats its own vomit, or a pig that goes back to wallowing in the mire. And also in Revelation 22:15, he talks about the fact that dogs will be outside. Again, I don't think that this is the other way that it's used in the Bible, where it's talking about Gentiles. Many of them call them dogs. He's not talking about that. He's not saying don't give that to them. If we expect to be pleasing to God, we must be careful in how we judge others. One of the things that is a warning here that we have to be very careful of is how we do it. With what judgment we judge, we will be judged. Do we want others to unfairly look at our lives and misjudge us? Isn't the golden rule in effect as we talk about it here? Do we really want people to look at us the way we look at them? Christ is the ultimate judge. But He's given us the Word to fairly judge ourselves and others using that standard. I couldn't judge my own life if I didn't have God's Word. I have to measure it according to that. And His words will judge us in the last day. Now the question is, have you obeyed His words? His words are very clear. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And Peter taught the same message when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're going to stand and sing a song. If there's anyone that hasn't done that, would like to do so, or if you're a Christian and would need the prayers of the others here, please let us know about it while together we stand and sing.